The Seraph Sings Before the Manifest, written by Black Cat and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars The Clone Wars fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Fives / Tare Vizsla.
Sometimes I join you, let you wash over me. When we're in the darkness, only the blind can see.
The Kyber is starting to shade blue. Alone in the back corner of the old fort battlements they've barricaded themselves into, Fives curls in on himself, curls over the hilt of his lightsaber, like that will be enough to hide it from everyone, to stop the change. Unease twists, tight and biting, and he stares down at the familiar grip, at the familiar hum, at the perfectly standard kyber crystal, mass-produced just like the clones. Ever since Krell, something's changed, though. Ever since Krell, and Umbara, and all the things Fives did there, a thread of pale, icy blue has crept into the white of his blade, and if someone notices, Fives is going to be decommissioned. Only the Jedi, long dead, long lost, have kyber colors besides white or red. Only the Sith have colored blades now. The clones' kyber can't take on different shades because it's not real, doesn't have a soul, was grown in a test tube. Just like the clones can't be people for all the same reasons. Fives knows what he saw during the last fight, though. It's a miracle that their general didn't notice, and Savage is generally the more reasonable of the Sith in the Empire, but too much more, and he's going to notice. Especially because Fives is an arc, and meant to be right with the general where the fighting is the heaviest. Maybe, he thinks grimly, curling his hand around the hilt, he can switch his blade out with a fallen clone's next time they're in a fight. It won't stop the change, but it should delay it at least a little, and it's not like there's ever a shortage of dead clones to choose from. It's a desecration, and if Echo were here, he could tell Fives all the ways it's against the regs, against the law, but Echo's not here. Maybe that's part of the problem. Fives, a deep voice rumbles, and Fives twitches, jerks to his feet all at once. Sir, he says. Sorry, sir, I was distracted. Savage considers him for a moment, frowning, and Fives tries to pretend that the desperate scream of the kyber in his double-bladed lightsaber isn't setting his own nerves on edge. The Sith are all hard to be around, but Savage and his brother more than most, because they're generally calm, generally careful and measured, and relatively kind, and the tortured kyber scream is a strange, unsettling contrast to their natures. I need a squad to scout the keep, Savage says after a long moment. Should I take Jesse? It takes effort for Fives not to grimace. Jesse's a new arc, the paint on his comma barely dry, and his squad is equally shiny, just rotated in from Kamino. It's stupid to try and protect them for too long, because there's no protecting anyone in this war, but at the very least, Fives wants to let them see a battle before they get dragged off into Sith strangeness. No need, General. I'll get my men, he says lightly. Just a little tired, but I'll wake up once we're moving. Savage considers him for another long second, then nods once. He turns his head away, scanning the shadowed staircase leaning down from the battlements where the company is sheltering, and says, there may be something here. The Force feels unsettled. Fives couldn't tell, given how unsettled he's felt since the last fight. Grimacing, he pulls his helmet on, then offers, at least that means that crazy queen probably isn't about to pop up and murder us all, right? Savage snorts quietly. I believe Queen Amidala is entirely distracted with torturing my brother right now, he says, grimly amused. Force defend Commander Cody, Fives says, faux serious, and it feels like a victory when Savage's mouth curls. He pretty much never smiles unless Feral is present, so that's a hell of an accomplishment. Makes Fives grin, too, only partly at the thought of General Maul and Queen Amidala doing their weird fight-flirting thing where Fives can never quite tell if Cody is the target or the impediment. I told him to lock them in a room, but I don't think he believed I meant it, Savage says, and turns, stalking towards the staircase. Fives follows one step behind, catching the eye of Tup and Kix as they go. Instantly, they both rise, chivying the rest of the squad along, and there's a contained rush of bodies putting on armor and picking up weapons. Rex turns to look, and Fives nods to him, gets a nod in return, though it's tense. Rex hates getting left behind, and Fives knows that, but as their commander, he's the only one who can deal with the admirals, since Savage loses his temper too easily, and Fives is only a captain. Besides, if one of them has to go crawling around sketchy old keeps while the Mandalorian Empire tries to hunt them down and murder them, it should probably be Fives. He's a good soldier, but he's not a tactician like Rex, or like Echo was. Fives breathes through the pang, curling his fingers around his lightsaber hilt. Not the comfort it should be, given the way it's taking on color. He's going to have to rely on his blaster as much as possible while they're scouting, or at least try to stay out of Savage's view. Anything else is asking to be decommissioned immediately and with prejudice. Unease twists, and he glances back up the stairs as Savage descends, checking that the squad is almost geared up. Savage isn't waiting, but then he never does, and Fives has gotten used to having to be quick on his heels or spend all his time catching up. Sir, he says, should we wait for the squad? Savage grunts, eyes trained ahead of them. He doesn't stop moving. At the base of the stairs. Given that the stairs could go all the way to the basement of this place, that's not exactly a good plan, but Fives isn't about to argue with a Sith general. Yes, sir, he says instead, resigned, and checks that his comm is working. Sees, like a flash of darkness out of the corner of his eye, the way something lunges straight at Savage. Instantly, Fives shouts, lunges, shoves. Savage falls, and instead of hitting him, the half-there image of a man in black armor hits Fives instead, slams him up against the wall. A blade burns in his other hand, black-limbed with electric white, and Fives swears, grabs for his blaster. Stone clicks, shifts, and he tumbles right through the wall as it turns, drops through complete blackness with a shout. The sound echoes off the wall all around, and force-guided instinct has Fives twisting, bleeding momentum hard a bare second before his feet hit something solid. Spilling forward, he rolls, twists back to his feet, rises with his lightsaber braced before him, and the blue-white glow fractures and reflects off water, glass, stone. Fives' heartbeat is loud in his ears, and he takes a step back, scanning the shadows, but the armor's systems aren't picking up anything, just like on the stairs. Whoever the attacker is, he's not someone the HUD can track. Fives didn't hear him land either, but that doesn't mean he didn't. Have Mandalorians started copying us and using lightsabers now? He asks, pitched cocky even as he turns, sweeping the area. Some sort of underground chamber, but the edge of a lake bordered by black sand stretches away beneath high stone arches, and the whole place feels weird. Heavy and hallowed, with a menacing edge in Fives' senses. Like he just disturbed a tomb, maybe. Isn't that kind of pathetic? Behind him, there's a hiss of black gravel sliding down the slope, though when Fives jerks around, he can't see anyone. Before Fives can jerk back, though, there's a body behind him, hands grabbing his arms, and Fives wrenches, ducks, and twists to throw the man, only to find himself hauled back up before he can manage it. He curses, struggling, but the stranger whirls them, shoves Fives up against a pillar and pins him there, body heavy against his back. Pathetic, the man asks, low. I would call force-sensitive Mandalorians following a Sith the pathetic ones myself. What cowardice drove you to this? What do you gain by working with monsters? Criff, Definitely a Mandalorian. Fives hisses, struggles, but he can't even budge the other man's grip, much less get away. "I'm a Sith," he snaps, which is an exaggeration, but close enough. The Mandalorians and the members of their empire have made it clear there's no difference between clones and Sith at this point. "Lies," the man says, and it's as sharp and cutting as a blade. His fingers dig in hard, and Fives yelps as his hand spasms, his lightsaber tumbling from his grip. It drops into the black sand, hissing out, and all at once the room is plunged into perfect darkness, so thick and heavy that every one of Fives's breaths sounds obscene in the hush. He freezes, and against his back there's a satisfied hum, and the man says softly, "If you were a Sith, you wouldn't carry a Jedi's blade." Fives swallows, a shiver running down his spine. It's fine, though. It's not Savage who caught him, or Maul, or any other Sith. Just a stranger. Fives can find a new kyber crystal before anyone else notices. "It's a defect," he says, and the words want to rasp in his throat. "My crystal. It's just defective, that's all." "Lie," the man says mercilessly. "You're Mandalorian, I'm not," Fives protests. "The Empire made that perfectly criffing clear. None of us are Mandalorian. Jango was banished." There's a pause, long, almost startled. "Banished," the man repeats, and Fives can hear the frown in his voice. "Wherefore?" "I don't know," Fives says, and winces as the hand on his helmet presses his head tighter against the pillar. "Ow, hey, I don't know. Jango never exactly sat down to share his life story with his clones. We were just a payday for him. But Tor banished him years ago, and he got his revenge by selling the Sith an army." "An army of clones," the man says after a moment. "An army of slaves." Fives scoffs. "The Sith always use slaves. Why is this any different?" "It's not," the man says grimly, and loosens his grip slightly. "Tell me, soldier, what is your name?" For a moment, Fives wavers, but it's not that weird to give his name when the guy's not actively attacking him, probably. And without Fives' CT number, his name is useless, won't tell the man anything. Names are only for clones, for the handful of generals who bother to care. Otherwise, they're just numbers to the Sith. "I'm Fives." "Fives," the man repeats, and finally lets go entirely, stepping back. Fives pushes up from the pillar and turns, not that it matters in the complete and total darkness. He wouldn't be able to see his own hand if he waved it at the tip of his nose. "I'm Tare. Why haven't the Jedi helped you, Fives? They're meant to oppose the Sith." "The Jedi?" Fives asks, startled. "The Jedi are gone. They've all been dead for 1,000 years. The Sith wiped them out. What are you talking about?" Tare stops short, and Fives can hear the rasp of an indrawn breath, startled, disbelieving. "Wiped out," he repeats, sharp. "That's impossible. I can feel them." Fives blinks. "Feel them?" he says. "Wait, you're Force-sensitive? But I thought Mandalorians aren't ever Force-sensitive. We were genetically engineered that way, and no one had ever managed it before the Kaminoans." There's a click, and light floods the room, soft and golden. It throws Tare into sharp relief, shows his frown clearly. "I was a Jedi," Tare says. "A Jedi and a Mandalorian both. Have such stories entirely faded from existence?" "Both." Fives swallows, and it shouldn't be such a staggering idea, but not a Sith, not just a Mandalorian. If Echo had ever heard of something like that, he would have combusted. "We're not exactly told many stories," he says after a second, "especially about the Jedi. If we even talk about them, some of us get decommissioned for it. No one dares." Tare stares at him, then closes his eyes, expression twisting. "The Jedi would take you," he says. "If you went to them right now, they would take you in, keep you from the Sith." "There are 1 billion of us," Fives says, disbelieving. "No one can hide 1 billion men." If the Jedi have managed to hide from the Sith this long, they must have a way, Tare says, and the perfect certainty in his voice makes doubting him feel entirely impossible. I can bring you to them, Fives. Your kyber crystal will be proof enough that you don't willingly follow the Sith. They'll have a way to save your people. It feels like taking a step and finding empty air beneath his boot, a lurching rush of adrenaline and disbelief. Fives stares at Tare, frozen, heartbeat loud in his ears. He should say no. He should reject it outright, fight his way past Tare, get back to Savage. But, he thinks, and it shivers through him like news of Echo's death at Queen Amidala's hands, like Krell's casual killing of clones, perfectly smug in his right to end their lives, like Heavy and Cutup, lost behind enemy lines, and Droid Bait dead at Fives' feet when the Emperor thought he was just a little too slow in showing deference. The Jedi are alive and might save them, he thinks, and it vibrates through him, impossible hope despite everything. And maybe it won't work. Maybe it's all just a stupid distraction. But at this point, there's not really anything left to lose. Can you really do that? Fives asks, desperate even though he doesn't mean to be, and Tare smiles, slow, an intriguing shadow in the half-light. With my body held by my house, I'm nothing but a phantom tied to my blade, he warns. But if you take my sword, I can accompany you. A ghost playing personal navigator. Fives has heard more ridiculous, but only just. Only because Fox got himself caught up in an affair with a stage actor and married him right under the Emperor's nose. This is less ridiculous than that, if barely. But if there really is a way to save the clones, to get them away from the Sith, it's worth it. Fives believes that with his whole soul. All right, he says, and breathes out, pulls his helmet off, steals himself, and looks up to meet Tare's eyes. Show me the way, and I'll get your sword. Tare smiles, sly and bright and thrilling, right down to Fives' core. Follow me. The end.
When you're in the half-light, oh, it is not you I see, and you live a half-life. You only show heart to me. Can't you shake it off? Oh, can you shake it off for me when you're in the half light? I don't like the half I see.